Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week. Isn't it great that we can praise our Savior all the day long? All the day long that we can praise our Savior. And, you know, we come to think about, you know, the very reason we can praise our Savior all the day long is because we have this very word right here to know of Him and to know of that Savior and know of the salvation that He gives. So today, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. We went through this last week when we went through from verse 6 to verse 13 of the passage, and we looked at the whole of the passage. And I just wanted to take a Sunday and just dial back and look at how the living, the Word of God is living and active. And so today we're going to read from verse 12 and verse 13. So join me in reading. The Word of God says this: "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come to You this morning and just give thanks to You for Your Word. Lord, we prayed earlier for Your Word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Lord, but now we just want to give thanks to the living and active Word of God. To the Word that penetrates deeply into people's hearts, exposing their hearts, exposing sin in their lives, helping us to grow in righteousness, Lord. Helping us to see our need for Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Dear Lord, I just pray today that You will help me to preach Your Word, the very living Word this morning, Lord, and let that be all that I preach, all that I teach. Lord, help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, I pray this morning if there is someone here who has never given their life to You, submitted their life to You, never made You Lord and Savior of their life, but today is the day that Your Word pierces their heart and changes it. Helps them to see their need for You as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that You save them today. God, we just thank You for Your Word this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may have heard people say things like, "That book is dead. The Bible is dead. That Bible is out of date." Or, "The Bible is old, really old. The Bible no longer has meaning for us in our time." Or you may have heard them say, "Oh, the Bible is like obsolete. It's no longer good for use." Or, "The Bible is irrelevant," or, "The Bible has no value to me." I'm sure you probably heard some people say that, and in our day and time and in our age today, these could all be statements that we hear from people outside the church. Those who do not believe and have a hard heart that rejects anything about Jesus, His gospel, Christianity, and this Bible. Some cases, we may actually hear that even in the church. And it's sad to say that.
But this is just the reality of the time we live in. No longer does the majority of the people agree and believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They see it and view it as an old book on the shelf. A book with no value, a book with no meaning to them. But church, that can't be any farther from the truth. God's Word, this Bible, let me tell you, it's not dead. It is not out of date. It may be old, but it's still very much alive. The Bible certainly still has meaning for us today, and it is by no means obsolete, and it is still very much relevant, even today. The Bible is valuable. It's valuable for life, because it's a life-giving Bible. God's Word, as our passage states today, is alive and active. Do you yourself see God's Word as alive and active? Do you believe that God's Word is not dead? Do you believe that God's Word is not out of date? Do you believe that God's Word is still relevant even for us today? Church, does God's Word, the Bible, have value to you? Does it mean something to you? Because it should. You should see and know that this Word, God's Word, is alive and active. You should believe that God's Word is living. You should know that God's Word does not expire. It's not like a canned food on the shelf. God's Word doesn't expire. It's an eternal Word. You should know that God's Word is very much relevant to us even today. Church, God's Word is our truth. It is the truth that we stand on. It's the very thing that we believe. Every single page, every single verse, every single chapter, every single dot, every single comma, we believe it all, right? We must believe this is the God's Word. Because it is the living Word of God. It is the active Word of God. And today in our sermon, we're going to learn and see that God's Word is alive and it is sharp as a two-edged sword that penetrates to the hearts of people. But from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, we're going to see two characteristics of God's Word. And the very first characteristic that we see is that the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is living and active. If you go back and you look at the beginning of verse 12, as it says here, I'm not going to repeat it again, but it says those very same words. And what we're going to do is just break down those first few words. And this ultimately means that there's three things for us to know and believe. And the first thing that we must understand and must know is, what is the Word of God, right? What is the Word of God? I think this is a great question for us to answer and to know. And for those of you that knows exactly what God's Word is, and I believe many of us feel that we know what God's Word is, just let this serve as a reminder of what God's Word is. So what is the Word of God that the author of Hebrews is wanting us to know? There's kind of two answers to this question here. And the first is that it is God's spoken Word. God's spoken Word. And what I mean by this is that it is the very words of God and what He said. The words of God being spoke started in Genesis chapter 1. If you go to Genesis and you read Genesis chapter 1, it says over and over and over that God said, God said, God spoke, and things came into existence, right? Those things that He said was His very own words. They were not words of anybody else. They were the words of God. Even as you continue to read the Old Testament, what do you read of? You read of God speaking, right? God speaking. He spoke to Adam in the garden. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to all the prophets. And guess what all the prophets spoke? They spoke the words of God. And within the context of this passage here in Hebrews, where the author is expounding on the first generation of Israelites out of Egypt, and how they did not enter into the promised land, did not enter the rest that God had promised them due to their unbelief, God had told them, if they believed, they would go to the promised land, right? He told them that. But if they didn't believe, they would not go. The Word of God. The Word of God was the very reason why they didn't go to the promised land. He said, if you believe, if you follow my commandments, then you can go, right? But did they believe? Did they follow His commandments? Were they obedient in belief? No. They disobeyed. They disbelieved. They chose not to believe. And what did God's Word say? If you believe, you can go. But it was God's Word. God's Word was the reason they didn't enter into the land of rest, because it condemned them. And then you go to the New Testament, right? We read several weeks ago, several months ago, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And it teaches us this right here. But in these last days, He, being God, has spoken to us by His Son. He's spoken to us by His Son. Jesus' words, let me tell you, they were God's words. Why? Because we believe in a triune God. We believe in one God who is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. So when Jesus spoke, He was speaking God's words. You know what Jesus spoke of? He spoke of salvation. He spoke of how those who believed in Him and repented of their sins would be saved and go to heaven. He spoke of how those who would not believe in Him or did not believe in Him and did not repent of their sins would not be saved. They would die in their sin and they would go to hell. And you know what? It is by the very words of God that people are saved. And it is by the very words of God that people go to hell. God's Word is a judging Word. His Word saves and His Word condemns. His Word gives life and His Word leaves people dead to their sins. His Word brings many to glory and His Word sends many to hell. Because it's a judging Word. We must understand that the Word of God is His very words that He speaks. And for the author of Hebrews, he is literally talking about the words God has spoken in the Old Testament and the words spoken through Jesus in the New Testament. And he wants you to know that. First, we see that the Word of God is God's spoken Word. And then secondly, we're going to see that the Word of God is God's written Word. God's holy Word. The Bible that you hold in your hand, the Bible that sits beside you in the pew, this is God's written Word. We see this specifically laid out in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It goes on and it says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This Scripture, this holy scripture that you are holding here, that is sitting beside you, was breathed out by God. Another word that's used here in the place to breathe is inspired. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. And what this means is, when you read the Old Testament, when Moses and what he wrote in the Old Testament wrote down those words, it was God who was inspiring him on exactly what to write down. When those prophets wrote down what was being said, it was God who breathed out those words to them for them to write down. When Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Peter, and James wrote down those words, it was God who was inspiring them, who was breathing out those words for them to write down. God is the ultimate author of this Bible. And He used humans. He used man as a means of putting it on paper, as a means of writing it down. He's the ultimate author who used human authors to give us His holy written word. And this leads us to the second thing for us to know and believe, and that is, God's word is living. God's word is very much alive. I really like how one commentator stated it. He said, "The Word of God, like God Himself, is living and active." Because God is living, because God is active, His Word is living and His Word is active. We believe in a God who is very much alive, one that is filled with life. As a matter of fact, we believe that He is so filled with life that He is able to give life abundantly. And because God is alive, His Word is alive, His Word is living. These words that we read in the Bible here, they are not dead words. These words we read, they are not irrelevant. These words that we read, they are not obsolete. They are 100% living words, 100% relevant words. They are words that hold value because God's Word is living. The Word of God is an eternal, lively Word. I want to read 2 Timothy 3:16 again. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." The very reason that God's Word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness is because God's Word is living. If it wasn't a living Word, if God's Word was irrelevant and dead, then it would be of no benefit to us. It would not be profitable for teaching. It would not reprove people. It would not rebuke. It would not correct. And it would not train in righteousness. But because God's Word is living, it can help us to live godlier lives, and it's a benefit to us as people. And one major benefit, one massive benefit to us as people that God's Word can do for us is it helps us to see our need for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says this, "Since you have been born again," talking about born again believers, "since you have been born again as a believer, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through" what? "The living and abiding Word of God." It is through the living and abiding Word of God that we have been saved, that we have been born again. It is because of God's Word that we know of Jesus and the salvation that He can give. It's because of God's Word that we learn that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It's because of God's Word that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because of God's Word that we have salvation. Church, let us praise God for His Word. Because it's by His Word that we have life, that we are saved, that we know of Jesus. Give thanks to God for His Word. But not only is God's Word living, but God's Word is also active. This is the third thing for us to know and believe here. God's Word is active. It is very much active. The Greek word for active here can also be translated as effective. God's Word is effective. It is effective in that it accomplishes what is said. When God speaks, things happen. Things are accomplished. You go back to Genesis 1. When God spoke, creation was created. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When God said, "Let the dry land come up and the waters part so land could come up," guess what? There was dry land and there was seas and oceans. When God said, "Let there be fish in the water," there was fish in the water. When God said, "Let birds fly in the air," there was birds in the air. When God said, "Let there be vegetation and plants and everything else that we see that grows in the ground," there was there. When God said, "Let there be animals," animals came about. When God said, "Let us create man in our images, in our image," man was created. God's Word is effective. And every time He speaks, His Word is effective. It accomplishes exactly what He says. I like what Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says. This is God speaking here, and He says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's Word does not return to Him empty. God's Word accomplishes exactly that which He purposes. It succeeds in everything He says. And here's what this ultimately means and goes to show. God's Word is effective. God's Word is active because it is powerful. And it's powerful because God Himself is the all-powerful being. He is the only being that possesses all power. And thus, when He speaks, His Word is effective. This makes me think of kings and queens from a long time ago, not the kings and queens nowadays. But a long time ago, when a king said, "Hey, I need you to go do this," or "I need this to be done," guess what? It was done, right? Or else bad things were going to happen to that person. When a queen said, "Hey, get this done," it happened, right? It was effective. Their word was effective. However, sometimes, as we read throughout history, when a king speaks or a queen speaks, their word is not quite accomplished, is it? Why? Because they depend on somebody else to do the job. Whenever God speaks, He accomplishes it. It's effective because He is the all-powerful being. Everything that He speaks of happens. This means that this very word that we have in our hands is a powerful word. I think we sometimes fail to realize. We fail to realize that this very word and what it says is powerful and it is effective because it's God's Word. And that is exactly the point that the author is making here in Hebrews. He wants you to know that God's Word is living and effective and powerful. But He doesn't just want you to know that it's effective and powerful in the sense that it creates things and does things, but it's effective and powerful in the sense that it penetrates and discerns people's hearts. This leads us to our second characteristic today. The Word of God is penetrating. The Word of God is penetrating. Read me the last part of verse 12 again. Let's read the whole thing. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word cuts deep, and it can reveal people's hearts. That is the whole point the author is making here, that God's Word reveals people's hearts. Makes me think of like a surgeon who's given somebody open heart surgery, right? They take a really sharp scalpel, and they cut the chest open so they can see the heart, right? So they can correct what is wrong. God's Word is sharper than that scalpel that a surgeon uses because it pierces even to the soul and the spirit. God's Word is sharp. It penetrates deeply as a two-edged sword would. When we hear the word sword, I think we often think of a big sword, right? One you got to hold with two hands and you got to swing around, you know. You think of that type of sword, right? One of those big swords, something that someone would have swung around. But that is not entirely the case here when the word sword is used. Roman soldiers during this time would have carried around a shorter sword, probably about yay long. It's called a gladius. And this sword would have had two edges, so two sides, and about the length of one's forearm. And this particular sword was meant to be used in a way that pierced rather than slashed. Does that make sense? Pierced rather than slashed. And so the author, with the use of the words two-edged sword, really gives off the picture of what God's Word does. It penetrates. It penetrates deep into the personality of people, deep into who they are, deep into their hearts. God's Word is a judging Word. Because it penetrates. It's a word that reveals. A word that, as our passage teaches, discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word is a convicting word. When we read God's Word and study God's Word, it is meant to convict us. It is meant to reveal to us in our lives and to help us discern our own thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And then we as Christians change our hearts in obedience to God's Word, right? This makes me think of James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, when he teaches that God's Word is like a mirror. How God's Word, when you look at it, it reflects and reveals and discerns and points out the sin that you have in your life. It shows you who you are. If I were to look into a mirror, it would reflect it back exactly who I am, would it not? If you were to look into a mirror, it would reflect exactly who you are. It reflects every single freckle on my face. It reflects the great things. It reflects the bad things, right? That's what a mirror does. If I were to look in the mirror and it reflected to me that I had ketchup, you know, on the side of my face, as happens often enough, you know. If it's there, I can wipe it away, right? I can grab a napkin and erase it or take it away. I can correct it. God's Word is living and active, and it penetrates deeply, convicting us and revealing to us sin in our lives. And we have the opportunity then to repent and correct it. If you go back and we read 2 Timothy 3:16 again, what does it say? for training in righteousness, for correction, for reproof, for teaching. That's what God's Word does for us. Do you look at God's Word in this way? When you read and study God's Word, do you let it reveal to you sin in your life? Is God's Word a mirror reflecting to you exactly who you are, discerning your thoughts and intentions for you? May God's Word reveal and expose to you your heart. As I stated last week, this verse here is often read without association to the rest of the passage. And the author is ultimately revealing that God's Word exposes people's hearts. God's Word shows whether people are truly believers or if they are not believers at all. And that is exactly what he is doing in this passage, teaching about how people can enter into the rest of God. And he's saying if people have a believing heart, then when the Word of God penetrates deep into their heart, it will reveal whether they truly believe or not. And if people have an unbelieving heart, when the Word of God penetrates deep into their heart, it's going to reveal and show that they do not believe. This morning, I want you to know that when you take your last breath, God's Word is going to penetrate deeply into your heart and it's going to judge you. It's going to judge you as righteous because of Jesus and what He has done, or it's going to judge you as unrighteous because you didn't believe and repent of your sins. So this morning, I want to ask you this question. Which will it be? When you take your last breath on this earth, how will you be judged? Will your heart be judged as one who has submitted their life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? One who has believed in Jesus and His righteousness? One who has repented of their sins? One who is saved by the blood of Jesus? Will your heart be judged as one who has not submitted their life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? One who has not believed in Jesus and His righteousness. One who has not repented of their sins. One who is not saved. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Me." And what He's saying there, He's saying that I am the only way you can be saved. And so this morning, I just pray that God's Word will convict you and penetrate deeply into your heart and reveal your heart to yourself. Are you trying to get to heaven on your own way? Or are you going to get to heaven because of Jesus and His way? And this morning, if you believe and know that you are not saved, and you understand that you have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I want you to know that today you can respond by believing and repenting of your sins, giving your life to Jesus. Because Jesus has sent His Son, His very own Son, Jesus, to save humanity. He was born as a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on a death, sacrificially crucified on a cross. He sacrificially died there, a death He didn't deserve. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again. Or rather, He was raised from the dead. Jesus Himself teaches that if you believe in Him and His gospel and His works and what He has done, and repent of your sins, you will be saved. This morning, you have an opportunity, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life, to respond by believing in Jesus and what He has done, and repenting of your sins. If that is you this morning, I just want to encourage you to talk to another faithful Christian around you that you know of. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be someone in this church. It could be me even. I just want to encourage you to talk to somebody. Because the Christian life can be a hard life and we need help. So I pray that you will talk to somebody about the decision you are making to respond in belief to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Today in our sermon, we have seen two characteristics. We've seen that the Word of God is a living and active Word. And we've seen that the Word of God is a penetrating Word. It is a living Word because God is very much alive. And it will be an eternal Word because God is eternal. It was an active, it is an active Word, an effective Word, a powerful Word that accomplishes exactly what God has commanded it to accomplish. It is a living and active Word because it judges and exposes our sinful hearts. It's a penetrating Word, a Word that is sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing deeply, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is living and active and penetrating, and we know this is true because it is still changing people's lives today. People are still being saved. People are still having their hearts pierced and exposed to the sin and are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Believers are still being sanctified by God's Word as it shows them their sins. It offers corrections and trains them in righteousness. Believers are still being transformed into godliness because God's Word is alive. Church, do you believe that God's Word is alive and active? Do you believe that God's Word is a penetrating Word? Do you believe that God's Word is not dead? If you did it before, I pray that today you have seen and you now believe that God's Word is alive and active and powerful. And church, God's Word, this Bible right here, God's Holy Word, His Scripture, is the very foundation of everything we believe. Everything that we believe. This Bible is why we believe what we believe and do what we do. And in a culture and a society that's wanting to change everything, wanting to take this and throw it out the window, wanting to make it say what they want to say, we must never let it happen. This is what we believe. This is what we believe is true. This is the foundation that we stand upon. I pray that in your life and that in this church, we stand on nothing but God's Word alone. Because if we stand on anything else, it'll be nothing but sinking sand. May we only stand on God's Word because it is God's Holy Word. It is living and active and it penetrates deeply to reveal hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come to You and we just want to thank You for Your Word today, Lord. We want to thank You for the Word that You've given us, of how this Word is profitable for teaching, how it's profitable for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. Lord, this Word is a Word that can save and it's a Word that can sanctify. And God, I just pray that we see it as that. God, if there's one here this morning who has never responded to believing in You as Savior and Lord, then I believe that today, or I pray that today is the day that they give their life to You, that You save them, Lord. God, we just praise You for Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.